Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
This is a special show. For me, it is anyway. I get to introduce you to Dylan Simard. I want to welcome you to Talk of the Rock on this rainy, blustery, classic Kodiak kind of day. I don't know about you, Dylan, but this kind of day energizes me in a weird way.
I'm always very partial to weather like this. I just like to crack open a window and listen to the sound of the rain and just get a good book open and really enjoy it that way.
You know, and this is, I think, I came here at the end of June, and this is, you know, the most heaviest rainfall that I think I've seen since I've been here, because the other rainstorms have been kind of gentle and, you know, and if maybe not lasting that long. It's been a wonderful summer. You missed out on that, but.
So I arrived 2 weeks ago, and it was very nice weather, and everyone was jumping up and down telling me, don't get used to this, it's going to get a lot rainier. So I guess I'm finally in store for something a bit more typical.
Well, I also should mention that we actually have another guest in the studio with us, your dog Mater, M-A-T-E-R. Yes. How did he get that name, Mater?
It's from Cars, I think. He's a rescue. I didn't actually name him, but he's a Boxer Dane mix. He's pretty much mute, and all he does is sleep all day, preferably on top of other people or objects that he shouldn't be sleeping on, like computers or whatever he can find.
He's currently sniffing around.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about your journey to Alaska. You are KMXT's new reporter, and you're taking the position that was held by Kavitha George, who many of you probably have heard now on Alaska Public Media. That's where she went to work. And that's not unusual for KMXT that a lot of its reporters wind up doing other things in other places. They're highly coveted. So be careful. They'll be trying to steal you away.
I look forward to it, and I'm definitely looking forward to getting some good public reporting experience here.
Well, and I tell you that if this summer, my time here, I came here as a temporary reporter to fill in for till they could hire you and also help Maggie Wall out. She was having some health issues, so it was a wonderful opportunity to learn about Kodiak. And I've had just this incredible summer. I was thinking about it this morning, the stories that I've covered. What a slice of Kodiak, because, you know, not too long after I got here, there was the tsunami warning. And then, so I got to see all the people in the parking lot when the tsunami siren starts to sound out, and then I've watched them start putting in the new tsunami warning system, and I think like at about 2 o'clock this afternoon we'll hear that siren. And then the other thing I saw was, you know, the buffalo that came to Old Harbor all the way from the lower 48 to make that herd stronger. And then of course Crab Fest was held virtually. So a lot of special things happened at this time that are unusual. And then, of course, you and I were both here for when the rocket, the Astra 3.1 rocket, had sort of a short-lived journey into space.
That was quite dramatic. But it was a beautiful drive all the way out there to get to where they were launching the rocket. I'm definitely glad I got the opportunity. That was my first day in the... We got to, what was the name of the beach? Excuse me.
Surfer's Beach.
Surfer's Beach. And we were out there, and there were just fish leaping out of the water, and they were getting chased by all sorts of different animals and fishermen who were trying to get a bite of them before they went away for the year, I suppose. It's lovely to be here. It's a beautiful
I know
island.
There were some seals bobbing out that day, and I recall telling you, I said, it's not a coincidence, I don't think, that all these critters, because earlier up the road, there were some horses that were loose, kind of at the, but they weren't wandering anywhere. They were just kind of staying in place. And we saw some buffalo and some deer. So I think everybody was trying to say hello to you, Dylan. Welcome you to Kodiak. And that's kind of the best welcome, isn't it? That day was a gorgeous day, boy. But anyway, I guess people will want to know a little bit about you. And I think that maybe we should wind the clock way, way back to when you first got your interest in storytelling. I know for myself, I think I was about, 9 or 10 years old and I started writing. It was just something that I had to do. I had to tell stories. It's part of my DNA. How about you?
I think I've always... For me, a big part of stories for me were the escape. When I was younger, I was a really big fan of science fiction, which was in no small part motivated by the fact that my dad, he's a French immigrant, and he brought with him from France tons of bande dessinée, which is Franco-Belgian comics, as they're sometimes known in English, and it's all these crazy French illustrators who are doing storytelling by... creating
graphics and cartoons.
Yes, and the books are enormous. They're notorious for being very, very heavy because they're very ink laden. All of the illustrations are done in full color, and they're always going crazy trying to outdo each other with there are giant cyborg insects that'll be attacking an alien civilization in some far off place, and it's sort of absurdist in its concept. And from there, I started getting into more literary science fiction, and one of my great joys during this pandemic has been getting back into it. But so from then on, I've just sort of always been a reader. I'm a guy who really, really likes to crack open a good book and spend some serious time with it. And
so, what are you reading currently?
Oh man, I started Snow Crash. I've been on a binge. I decided that for the pandemic I would want to focus on an incredibly niche subset of science fiction, so I started reading cyberpunk, things like Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which is the inspiration for Blade Runner. And then I read Neuromancer and the other books in that series by William Gibson, and now I'm on to Snow Crash, and I think from there I'll go on to Larry Niven's Ringworld.
So you came well supplied with books. You know, I can think of another reporter years and years ago that I met. Maybe it's a name that's familiar to our audience, Corey Flintoff. He now works for National Public Radio as a correspondent, but he was at one time the host of the flagship program for Alaska News Nightly, for Alaska Public Radio Network. It was Alaska News Nightly. And I met him when he was hosting that show, and I was on my way to Bethel, Alaska, back in 1988 to go work at the radio station KYUK. And he told me, he said, you know, I came to Bethel with lots of books, figuring that I was going to be in an isolated place and have nothing, you know, to do. So I had all those books, and he said, once I got to Bethel, I never touched them hardly. He said, because I was invited to experience things and had so many adventures along the way, I hardly had time to read. So I'm just forewarning you. You know, you might have to, people might be inviting you to things, to explore things. And I know you've already been hiking.
Yeah, I went up Heitman a fair ways to the lake. I got a chance to swim in the Alpine Lake, and it was very cold, but... That was definitely pretty cool. You can't do that in the Phoenix area where I was living previously. There aren't a whole lot of lakes around there.
So let's start with your journey to Alaska. You boarded the Kennecott with Mater.
Right. So I said from the onset, I was like, I can't go to Alaska without my dog. And I was put in a very unique position because there wasn't any availability for cars on the boat. So I was looking around with my parents, and I was shopping around. I found literally the biggest kennel I could buy, just an enormous crate for a dog. Mater is 90 pounds, but he's very long and lanky, being part Dane. And so I had him down below deck in this crate, and I would be, you know, upstairs, and I would only get to see him every few hours or so. But It was quite a journey, and of course it was very beautiful scenery. I wish I'd gotten the chance to walk my dog a bit more than just the car deck, but.
So what did you realize as you were coming up on the Kennecott? Because that's a long journey.
I tried to spend as much time as I could on deck, which was. If you really spend a lot of time on deck on a boat that's moving at a decently high speed in the sea, your ears are going to be ringing when you get back because the wind will just be blowing in it. And I remember on the day I arrived in port, I had like, you know, my first outfit ready to go. I was on deck. I was looking. I was like, oh, there's Kodiak. I can finally see it now. And immediately this huge wave comes up over the bow and just, I'm completely soaked. I have to change clothes to something that I've been wearing for the past few days because you can only bring so much with you, right? So So
you were all dressed up, ready to make a good impression on your boss.
Yes, and immediately drenched in water as soon as I stepped outside.
That was welcome to Kodiak number one.
Right.
And then later that day, of course, you know, the seals and the buffalo said hello and the deers.
Right.
So all in your first day.
It was a really great first day. I'm sure I will never have a first day on a job quite like that ever again.
Now, one of the things that's kind of interesting is that, you know, since your dog is so important to you, and probably at 22, mm-hmm. I can understand that your dog would be your companion, your most reliable companion as you go out in the world away from home. But, you know, how did you know that, or did you sense that you were coming to a very dog-friendly station?
I was told immediately that I came with my dog because I had just gotten off the boat. I hadn't even arrived at the hotel at that point, I don't think. And Mike Wall told me, he's like, you know, you can just bring your dog. And I was like, what? I can just show up at work with my dog. And he goes, oh yeah. So since I've had him here, Mike's given him a bone and there's a water dish for him.
I know this is the only station, and I've worked in a few of them in my time. This is the only station I've ever worked in with a dog dish in the break room, like filled with water waiting for, of course, in Mike's case, he sometimes brings Izzy in. And so we get to visit with Izzy. And, you know, be curious to see how Izzy and Mater get along, because I have a feeling that Mater's going to spend a lot of time here, too.
Oh, yeah. He's a rescue, and he gets pretty nerved up without me, so I would prefer to bring him in when possible. But he's great. I mean, he's pretty much mute. He's in the studio now with us, just lying on the floor, not doing much of anything.
No, so. he's a very gentle critter, I would have to say.
He's a gentle giant.
He's a gentle giant. I don't want to call him a giant.
He's pretty big.
he is big.
I rescued him in my sophomore year. I must have been like 19. And I remember the call with my mom. It was a Sunday morning. And I go, I call her. I say, oh, hi, Mom. How are things? How are you doing? And she goes, oh, things are great. I got a dog. You what? What did you do? And from then on, it was a long, slow process, but my parents are completely enamored with him. I like to say that rescuing a dog at that young age in college was the best mistake I ever made.
And, you know, you were going to school in Phoenix.
Right.
So, boy, that I could imagine that Mater is just going to like it here a lot better because the weather will be better for him rather than the, you know, the 102s that Phoenix is famous for. But, you know, maybe we should talk a little bit about what you experienced at the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. That's a very prestigious school. Many exciting things are happening there. In fact, there's an Alaska connection there. Mark Trahant, who is the editor of Indian Country Today now, is headquartered there, and he is expanding it, and he opened a bureau in Alaska Alaska Pacific University, and he has a correspondent there, Jocelyn Estes. But Mark also taught at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He was the Atwood Fellow there. So at that school that you were at, there is an Alaska presence, and I think Indian Country Today was happy to be headquartered there because it's a leading edge kind of university, especially with journalism. And so I'm curious, you know, what kinds of experiences you had that will help prepare you for your time in Kodiak.
One of the very incredible experiences that I got a chance to see up close, and I would, life changing might be a bit dramatic, but it's definitely given me a lot of perspective. There were a lot of foreign journalists there, and they weren't just like journalists from. So I should point out, journalism in America relative to other countries can be very, very different. I had a good friend from this exchange program named Alex Gorbachev, who was a an independent, or no, he was an opposition Russian journalist, which is fairly dangerous. I mean, when he goes
back, when you think of people that are, you know, suspected of being poisoned by the government in Russia, it's very courageous.
So he had all these incredible stories about getting his passport seized any time he would go home. And then we had another friend named Viktor Olenik, a mutual friend of Alex's, who came to visit, and he was part of a project where they would they used to have all of these anti-Putin protests, and what would happen was that they'd have these vigilantes almost showing up with chains and whips, and they'd just start beating people in the street, and the police wouldn't intervene. And part of he was part of an independent investigative project with a few of his friends, and they started getting the information of these guys, their addresses, and putting it out, and actually displaying who these people were publicly, because of course they would be all covered up. And they eventually found a connection and were able to prove, I believe, that they were being paid to do this by the office of the mayor of Moscow. And he is pretty much in a position where he can never go back home. It would not be safe for him to return. I believe there was a Russian parliamentary investigation launched against him. And he's my age, right? He's
as Americans and as American journalists, we take for granted the First Amendment because we live it all the time.
The incredible thing is, so I asked both of them about this. I said, do you think that things would be different if you had the First Amendment in your country? And Alex told me, he said, we pretty much have the First Amendment word for word. The difference is that the government just doesn't respect it. So it's definitely interesting.
It is a right that you have to exercise, because, you know, what's that saying? You lose it, you know, you don't use it, you lose it.
Right.
And I think that's true with all freedoms. But it's interesting that you had that exposure to international journalism, to kind of know what it is we have. I understand that in college you developed this passion for podcasting. So I would imagine that you'll probably develop some podcasts for KMXT down the road as you get your feet wet.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Podcasting for me, it's it was very interesting because it sort of gives you a whole nother, it goes from two-dimensional to three-dimensional as far as storytelling goes. You can add a lot with your voice that you can't add with just a keyboard and mouse. And once you start getting into different noise effects, and you can really turn it sort of, not strictly journalism, I should point out, but when you're getting into the more creative elements of what you can do with podcasting as a medium, it really turns almost into theater. And for me, I just get more of the creator's catharsis, what artists are striving for when they, not that I'm an artist, but it's wonderful to assemble the podcast, get it together as a final product, and have people listen to it and enjoy it. I feel like I have a lot more ability to take an idea and make it into a thing.
Well, I think, you know, I love news reporting. I've been a reporter, you know, for my entire career, except for maybe 1 year that I took off to do something else. But I would have to say that that while I love reporting, it's also limiting, because stories sometimes deserve more. And I'm a big lover of long format storytelling. And it sounds like the podcast is that in a way.
The podcast is sort of wonderful because it's democratized in a way that the internet has sort of democratized other things. As far as storytelling goes, for podcasts, you can take people who have very, very niche topical understandings of there's more than one podcast on the history of Napoleonic France, and any type of historical period or hobby or even specific cold cases. There are tons of podcasts of that variety where you get somebody who's just been reading about a cold case for a decade, and they just have all of this material that they can just turn into a podcast. And the barrier for entry is so low. Really, anybody can do it.
So you've been here for just a short while, but are there any stories out there that you'd like to chase?
I have a few ideas floating around, but I think before I can really sink my teeth into a more serious long-term enterprise story, I'm going to want to wait around a bit a bit more than I have already on the island. There's just so much going on here.
There is. For, you know, and I think that's what makes it exciting, is that there's always something interesting. But then again, you know, I like to quote Mark Twain, who said, you know, there are no dull towns, just dull reporters. And I get a sense, Dylan, that you're not going to be a dull reporter.
I hope not to be. I certainly hope not to be. We'll see. I could yet disappoint.
So, but why did you accept the job here? I, you know, you had to apply for it.
Right.
What intrigued you?
It's coming all the way out to Kodiak is very different from anything I've ever done before in my life. And I figured, you know, I'm 22. I'm in good health. I could go anywhere and do anything right now. And I feel that in order to live a fulfilled life, I'm going to want a very wide variety of experiences. And some people travel, and I think that if you really want to get a change of mindset, you need to go live in different places. And this is just different from anything I've done before, and that gives me all the incentive to come out here.
Well, one of the things I discovered about Kodiak, and I've heard this before, but I really fully realized it this time, fully understood it, is people have said to me, this is one of the nicest places, that people here are really, really nice. And there is a kindness, a level of kindness here I don't think you'll find anywhere else.
Since I've gotten here, people certainly have been extremely friendly. And I, relative to having lived like in downtown Phoenix, there's sort of a degree of alienation that you get inside of some of these bigger cities. You know, you go outside, but you're too nervous to like talk to anybody, and they probably don't want to talk to you. And there will be people, you know, walking up and down the street, but you're sort of separated from them in a way that you aren't here. I mean, people will ask you how your day is going. I've been learning stick shift, and it's not easy, but, you know, every now and again I'll stall out and I'll have trouble with it, and somebody will pull up next to me and say, are you doing okay? They're not, like, beeping. Nobody's coming up behind me and screaming.
How is the stick shift lesson? I guess you're using a car, I guess, that's been loaned to you till you get your feet wet.
Right. So,
and it is...
So since I've gotten here, I've been loaned a stick shift car by the station. I'm doing okay with it. I've been getting not too much time on the road, but when I can, I drove here this morning in the stick shift, so it's going at least partially okay. And to the
partially okay,
right? And to the to our dear listeners, if you see anybody in a Subaru Outback who seems to be stopping and starting suddenly and struggling, it's probably me. Please be nice.
Well, I wouldn't expect anything other than people to be nice to you here based on my experiences. And, you know, people say, well, it's because we're an island and we have to help each other out. But there is something about this place I cannot define, but it is here, and it is a beauty of spirit that makes Kodiak a very unique place. I think you're very lucky to be able to have this opportunity to tell the stories of Kodiak.
So far, it's really felt like a blessing. In a way, I feel as if I've been invited to join a club full of all these like wonderful and nice people who I keep meeting seemingly everywhere I go on the island.
That's a nice way to put it. You know, and I think that this station is a club of very special people. You know, when I watch, Pam Forman will be mad at me for saying this because she likes to be under the radar, but she is truly a legend in broadcasting. I mean, she knows how to do everything, a little bit of everything.
It's
and when I watch her, like during the tsunami warning, when she was on the air all the time, giving people what they needed to know in a very appropriate way, I was like, this is a real pro. This is someone who has amazing skills. And Mike Wall, his talk shows, you know, he knows this community deeply and richly, and his interviews don't feel like interviews. They feel like conversations. So I, and of course, Willie, who's their morning host, he's so creative. Terry, my goodness, you know, there's a sense of humor there in that man.
It's
you got to watch out for Terry. I'm putting you on notice now. Terry occasionally puts this weird sound effect, like a gorilla of something, into the archive where they have, you know, audio clips for news. And that's in there sometimes. And I'm always like really worried that I'm going to hit that.
get the gorilla sound effect on there.
Hit the gorilla sound, whatever it is that Terry has. But that is the side of Terry.
It certainly seems like a unique cast of characters, and definitely, like, as far I speaking frankly, a lot of my experience before coming to KMXT was doing production work in a studio. I'd like to think that I'm pretty good at putting podcasts together, but live radio is sort of a new frontier for me. And certainly, I think that if I want to get experience wearing every type of hat in a radio station, I don't think I could imagine a better place to do it than right here.
And of course, I hope that you will have people like Pam Foreman guide you through this process, because she knows what she's doing, and so do Terry and Willie and Mike. So it'll be good for you. You have the best possible guides through that journey that I can imagine.
I'm very excited.
Well, I think that everybody in the community is excited, because I think Kodiak, my impression too, is that Kodiak loves a good story. And I've noticed that whenever I invest time in a story, that there's reaction from the community. So I can tell that this community is hungry for good storytelling.
I'll do my best to deliver.
So that really speaks highly to this community. And I think that's true of Alaska communities in general, that there is a hunger for good storytelling. And where I think in other places, it's not so much. Maybe it's because people have a lot of choices. I don't know. I don't know what it is that makes Alaska a place where people still love stories that go places. They're not over in 20 seconds, 30 seconds.
When I was going to, like, journalism school, there was this whole, I mean, there's an enormous amount of information on how the news right now in general is struggling, you know, broadcast viewership until this election has been down, and readership in print newspapers is or at least subscriptions to print newspapers have been steadily declining. But I'm always pleasantly surprised when I come to different communities and see just people are still hungry for the news. The demand hasn't gone away. The means of delivery have changed, but people are still interested in good stories.
That's right. So we're going to have to call it an end to this conversation. Certainly not a continuing conversation that goes on with the community, but best of luck to you, Dylan.
Thank you so much. Hopefully I won't need it, but I will certainly take it if you're offering.
Well, I think you are a person that's in the right place at the right time. So take care. All right, everybody. This is it for this edition of Talk of the Rock. Thanks for joining us.